one song to warm up and make me more like you. Jesus, make me more like you. Make me more like thee. Jesus, make me more like thee. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like thee. Amen, amen, amen. Dear precious, let us pray. Dear precious Lord Jesus, that's the utmost desire of our heart this morning, is to be more like you. Father, how can we be more like you if you don't come and dwell within us, Lord? Oh God, we want to be more like you. We want to be your feet this morning. We want to be your hands. We want to be your mind. We want to be your eyes. We want to be your ears. Oh God, may the mind of Christ come in us today. Father, take over all our faculties, Father, and let us live a life that is pleasing in thy sight. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity to see this day. We thank you, Father, for making a living souls. And Father, God, as living souls that we are, we only have one objective, one goal, one purpose, one duty, one responsibility, is to praise you, is to lift to high, Father, is to worship you, Father. For you say, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men, I'll draw all men unto me. So, Father, help us this morning to lift to high, Father, so you can draw your children unto you. Father God, I pray that you help me this morning to share these few thoughts with my brethren. Bless us all, open our mind, our heart, Father God, to receive your word. And Father, I'm solely depending on you, Father. Take over my faculties, Father. Take over my vocal cord. Oh God, may the Holy Spirit, oh God, so take over me, that we take over my vocal cord, Father God, to speak your word, Father. Oh Lord, that I may remain in your perfect divine will. Thank you, Father. Bless the service this morning. We commit all to your hands, Father. In Jesus Christ, let me pray. Amen. 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 So we are going to continue a walk through the Bible. We are very happy to be back in the house of the Lord today. And as I said, we are going to continue our walk through the Bible. And today's lesson will focus on the statue of a perfect man that we started last week. My goal is to start on faith, if I can finish laying down the foundation for the series. As I told you, as a builder, civil engineer, I really believe in foundation. Everything that I do, I can spend a whole year on the foundation, because if the foundation is solid, nothing can shake it. So that's why I'd never like to jump building a house until I make sure that I have a good foundation to lay everything that we do upon. All right? But I know many times people want to jump. Well, you tell us the story, we want a story. But we have to set always a good foundation first. All right? And I won't be in a hurry. My objective is not for me to come here and say things and read quotes, but for you, us, all of us together, collectively, to get something that will move us forward in our walk with the Lord. Amen. All right? So as a book, I titled my Sunday school lesson, A Walk Through the Bible. And every lesson is like a chapter of that book. All right? Because we know we have no other book than the Bible, and it's the blueprint of the roadmap back to the Garden of Eden. We can't get back to the Garden of Eden with any other roadmap. All right? All right, so let us read the scripture this morning. The scripture that we read last week, 2 Peter, is going to be the scripture that we will be reading most of the time through this lesson. 2 Peter, Second Peter 1. We're going to read today, Second Peter 1. We're going to read from 5 to 11. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and have forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's go to Hebrews 11. Now, Hebrews 11, please, when you have time, it's long, and so we won't have time to read it all. But when you have time, I would strongly encourage you that you read the entire chapter. All right, I'll see how much I can read here. So, Hebrews 11, let's start from verse 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God has translated him. But for before his translation, he had his testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. I meant to read all, but for time's sake, since we don't have a long time, I just encourage you to read it all, because that's going to serve as a basis for our lessons. God will, this month and the coming months, I'm going to spend a lot of time on Hebrews 11. You may be seated. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. So let me do a quick recap on last Sunday. So last Sunday we began to look at what the building, the dwelling place of God, is supposed to look like. In a previous lesson, we talked about the temple for the fellowship. So we talk about it. All right? So we saw that the Bible is the master plan contained a blueprint for that building. We talked about a mention and the appurtenances, and I thought the appurtenances are the different things that serve, like a shed, this one, guest house. Those are what I call appurtenances. And as I was thinking more about it, for people who speak French, it will appear more for you. I think it came from, it's called appartenance. Appartenance, something that belongs to something. All right, appurtenances. And for those who were not here last Sunday, please listen. I won't be able to go into detail. And it seems that many people identify the mention analogy, because many people are coming to see me, and Brother Eric was all excited because I think his dad was ambassador in Italy, and he said he lived in the mission. So all the things I was talking about, you see, we got Maybe as a kid, we used to go to this year, we would go to that year, we go to that year. So he was all excited about it. God bless you, Brother Eric. All right? We saw that God laid out all his appurtenances. All right? Begin to lay out appurtenances. And one scripture that really we can, I mean, strike me about God's hidden appurtenances is Isaiah 40, 12. When I read it last time, look, I know, like, here's some, you know, when you're doing something, you measure. When you go buy clothes, you measure. When you go buy shoes, you measure it. Anything, or I have to put one teaspoon. Everything is measured, 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 measured. So God, he measured everything, even weigh how much would be the weight of the earth. And I was reading, now let me read it here, Isaiah 40, 12. He says, who have measured the waters in the hollow of his hands? So in hydrology, all right, I'm going back again to, okay, in hydrology, one of the first things that it teaches, you cannot lose, you cannot create. It just changed forms, all right? All the waters, and then the later on, Solomon came and put in Ecclesiastic, all the water ran into the sea. And yet, the sea is not full. From whence the water come from, Peter, they return again. That's a whole hydrological cycle that he said thousands of years ago. And now we're trying to understand by science that water evaporates. The wind shift the wind will shift that evaporation onto land. And then they fall back onto land. It goes into groundwater. It goes into the streams. And they run back to the ocean. And Ecclesiastic. God has wrote that. But we now, it's only now that we get smarter. We have hydrologic book, we have a hydrological cycle, and we teach you when you start and all that. You see, that God wisdom. It's only now we think that we are becoming smarter. You see? So here, Isaiah 40, 12, it says, who have measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with his pen? I'm like, wait a minute, what an architect. He measured the water. And today, even science said that we cannot create. All right? Water. It goes from one form to the other, from ice to thing and so forth. All right? And the reason why I'm afraid about the icebergs is that the thing that the icebergs melt, is going to, the ocean is going to go too high, it will flood us. But it's there. All right? God has a meter. Measure the waters in the hollow of his hand. Say, this is the amount of water. You can add, you can subtract. Okay? And meted at heaven with the span and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. He knew the dust that would be on the earth. And weigh the mountain in scales. Big mountains. Small mountain. Before God put Everest, Kilimanjaro, all that, according to Isaiah, he weighed the mountain in the scales. So I'll put this one here because that's all this one can carry here. I'm going to put this small mountain here. I'm going to put the Blue Ridge Mountain. That's how I'm all going to be. And so forth. When I was reading that, I'm like, oh God, how great thou art. Amen? Amen? Amen. Okay, weigh the mountain in scales. And the hills in a balance. All right, that's Isaiah 40, 12. So that's when God was putting together his appurtenances this year. You see, weigh them, put it there. But then he came to the main dwelling place where he manifests, where he will manifest his attributes. Man, I've weighed this, I've weighed that. And then he can let there be, let there be. He weighed everything. Let there be, 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 let there be. But when he come to his dwelling place, cannot be let there be. He come to his dwelling place, all right? He come to his dwelling place, like Genesis 1, 26 to 28. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God, created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish. You see, that idea of fruitful and multiply, we come back to it one day, God willing. Fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God, first of all, he created all their pertinences, right? It's like if you take, I know things are changing a little bit nowadays, but if you take a man who is serious about going to get married, you think about where do I put my spouse, where the warehouse? What he does all that, and when he gets his bride, he takes his bride to where the house and show him all that he has, right? So God created the appurtenances for the man. He created all of them. You see, even look at the creation. You would think that God created man first and say, okay, I created and I'm going to give you. No, he created, let there be. He created his domain. All right? First, you can say, okay, come here. I'm going to create man first. Then you can say, okay, in the first day God created man. Okay, fine. No, he didn't do that. He created first all the appurtenances. All right? Like I said, people speak French, appartenance. Pertinences, things that will belong to him. All right? So when the Bible says we are king and priest, we are princes, we are kings, we are. He created all that for all of us. And after he done all that, he created, okay, now let me bring my child and show him. But you see, that's what the devil had tried to, he was trying to trick Jesus Christ. Say, look all this. You see, Abraham said the devil, he knew the word. He knew that God created all that for the domain of his children. But the devil's trying to trick Christ to get there. He said, come, see here. You see, look at all this. I'll give it to you if you just worship me. But that was his.
That's right. Amen.
All this world, God created for him. How come this is mine and you're telling me if you're trying to trick me?
Yes, that's right.
You cannot do as someone who doesn't know. Let's say if my parent leave me an heritage, and if I don't know that my parent left me an heritage, then you can come and trick me and say, oh, you know what? Let's make a deal. Maybe if you serve me, we can give you that. But no, there's no deal here.
Amen.
This to begin with was mine. I don't care how much you squat on it. It was mine from the beginning. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Then God let out. Then in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God let out the statue of the perfect man, his masterpiece, the spirit man. Amen? We know that Genesis is the seed book of the Bible. So in Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God planted the seed of the perfect spirit man, the pattern that he will use in restoring, redeeming us back to the original seed. And that's why God told Joshua, in a measure, because the Old Testament is a shadow and types of what to come. That's why he told Joshua, everywhere the sole of your feet, I gave it to you. Because before the foundation, I've created all that for you. And that's the reason why God was so upset when the 10 came back and said, we cannot. It's like they're putting doubt. Genesis 1, all right, all the way from 1 to 25, it's like God never did that. God did all that, let it for you.
Amen.
But now you come back, we can't take it. The giant out there, we look like the giant, we can't. We look like grasshoppers. That's why they said that thing, God was so mad. He said, none of them will enter into there. But only two, Joshua and Caleb. He said, we are more than able. Look, if God created this before the foundation of the world, if he created this for me, it's ours. Who are there? Who are those giants? God created this for me. And you think those giants, they're squatters. And to get them out of there. So we are more than able. Amen? That's why Joshua is praying there when the captain of the host came. He's not ready. Yeah. Who are thou? Are you for us or against us? I want to know. Because that land, Jehovah, Elohim, created it for me. And now, are you, we're not sure who is that person. Are you with them trying to tell I cannot take that land? Then if it's that, we better start a fight from here now. And I'll tell you it's mine. I said, no, put it back. Put your sword back. I'm the captain of the host. Amen? All right. So, God gave us a blueprint that gives the details of the characteristics of what the Genesis 1:26-28 perfect man is supposed to display. Then the middle of the book, all right, because through the different ones, as you read, God put a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit. They all have their mistake, like Abraham, faith. But then when time comes, he has to lie, okay, so he can get by. Isaac, follow his dad's path, has to lie. Jacob, but nevertheless, when they begin to count the book, by faith, because God knows that all these people is just little piece here, little here, line upon here, little piece. It's a puzzle, yes. All right? If you take a puzzle, you want to play a puzzle, right? Mm-hmm. If you take a piece, not the whole thing. So if you take Abraham was just that piece. So all his other mistakes were not part of the puzzle. So that's why when Brother Brown said, when the Bible was talking about Abraham, if that was not part of the puzzle, the Bible ignored that. By faith, Abraham. Amen? If you take Jacob, look at what Jacob did. Right? But that's not part of the puzzle. He was a piece in the puzzle. You want to talk about a poor apprentice? By faith. By faith. You see, that's why when the Bible begins to talk about those things, those are not part of the puzzle. The Bible put them on the side because they are not a perfect type. Okay, so in the middle of the book, okay, God, he came down himself to physically show us in the person of Jesus Christ that perfect masterpiece. The one that, so look, he came in the middle of the book to show us how, once you put all the puzzle together, how it looked like. Yes. There's no hole anymore. There's not that Abraham was just one piece, put it there. Enoch, put it there. Abel, put it there to form. He was that puzzle put together. Amen. Amen? When God put his masterpiece together in the middle of the book, he said, now let me bring that masterpiece. And God was so pleased that Abraham said he take and Father wound him on the side to take out the church. We are somebody. Though we may not look at it today. Amen? All right? Now, he physically show us in the person of Jesus Christ that masterpiece, that perfect masterpiece, walking on 2 feet, connecting and fellowshipping with his creation. Amen? Amen. Now, his creation can touch him.
Yes.
Amen. Like the woman who have the blood issue, if I could just touch the hand of his guy, he touched Jehovah's hand of garment, and she was healed. Just I felt virtue. Went to the woman at the well. All right. Now he was supposed to go somewhere. So a disciple, you go ahead. I have a business to take care of here. That's a business before the financial. You guys don't know nothing about it. Let me go and take care of that. Woman, give me a drink. Who are you? We don't do dealings here. I said, well, if you know who's talking to you, go get your husband. Before you know, Jehovah God allow himself to talk with his creation. The creation talked back. Amen? And God became the deliverance. Amen? All right. Now, the Lord Jesus, God in the flesh, made us a promise in John 14:26. He said, but the comforter, when he was with them, I'm Jehovah in flesh. I have come to fellowship, to connect with my creation. But it's too difficult for you to understand. Because right now, you are still in a human element, trying with your finite mind, trying to understand a divine God and finite God. I know that. I know That's why he asked Peter, who do men say I am? Yeah. All right? Then say this, then say, but say who? When Peter says that, God, with your finite men, there's no way for you to know that I am. That's why I say, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. But my Father, which is in heaven, because in your finite man, there's no way you can comprehend me yet. And that's why towards the end, Philip said, show us a Father. Just show, because with their finite men, they can't understand. So in John 14, 26, he gives us a promise. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, all right, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Amen. Whatsoever I have said unto you. So when that Comforter comes in you, then that Comforter, it gives you that infinite mind to understand infinite God. That's why that Holy Ghost, you are in the process of being a Christian, because you can understand. You can see God. Because we are a finite mind. There's no way with the finite mind you can understand infinite God. It's impossible. It's impossible. Amen? Now, Peter, under the inspiration and anointing of the Comforter, Peter put plainly, because God instructed at Deuteronomy 25:2, that always put my word plainly. So the people reading, they can understand that. So Peter, under the inspiration and anointing of the Comforter, all right, he put plain letter form for the bride to read. All right? For the bride to read. Are you following? For the bride to read in 2 Peter 1, 5 to 11, that the temple where God dwells for fellowship, to show them when I came, all right, when I came as Jesus Christ, you didn't understand who I am. First, if you know who I am, Peter, when you're about to crucify me, there's no way you can tell me I didn't, you can deny me 3 times. But God knew, this guy is a finite mind. Even though he said, God, go with that, which he said, come on, you have a finite mind, I know that. With that finite mind, there's no way. If Peter has had that infinite mind on the day of they were taking Jesus into Caiaphas' private prison, you have never said, I don't know him 3 times. You never say that. But you see, God knew that. And he said, I prayed for you. Don't worry. But when you are converted, when the Holy Spirit comes and the mind of Christ is in you, the mind of God, when the Holy Ghost comes, the Comforter, who will remind you, teach you everything I do, is not you anymore. It's Christ in you. When that mindset comes, then convert your brothers. Bring your brothers back. Amen? So he was telling them, when I was here, that you people couldn't understand me. When I went to this place. You guys said, wait a minute. God, how would you go and fellowship with sinners? When I was sitting at the house of Simon, that lady that you guys have outcast, because you guys know that she has a bad life. With that still bad life, she went and used the money, whatever she got from that bad life, bought a perfume to come to anoint me. What made me accept that? What made me accept that? When I was on the cross, they hit me in the face. I didn't say a word. Now, what made me do that? Peter, I want you to write it down. And that's your pattern. So Peter said here that the temple that God dwells in for fellowship is adorned with 7 virtues, faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And all when all that is done, that's God on 2 feet. You are capped with charity, Christ. When I will listen to that message again, I have to listen again and again and again. You see what Brother Branham, where he was trying to bring the church. All right? Okay, I will read a few quotes that I didn't have time to read last Sunday because of time. When Brother Branham preached the Statue of Perfect Man, he said, and this morning, we want to speak on a subject, or teach rather, if we can, building the living tabernacle. Building the living tabernacle or a living God's dwelling place. The perfect man. the living tabernacle of the living God, where he dwells. When God came on earth, where did he dwell? In Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, we are approaching the seven seals. We have just finished the seven church ages, and this is a message on teaching that ties the man in, that's going to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and is going to be in that church age, that eternal church age at the end of the seven seals. See? And brother, the world, we've escaped that now. He's addressing this to the church. That's why we are here this morning, is to find out what is the way. What is the way? What is God's requirement? All right? When you listen to that message, listen carefully to every word that Brother Bram said in that message. What's God's requirement? There's not a person in here that loves God but wants to become more like Christ. Now it's laid out here. Amen? It's laid out here. Talk about 2 Peter. Laid out here. They're here. Every Christian. I'm an old veteran. Look at brother and sister Kid here. They are probably the oldest in a building. But if I'd ask them, what is your heart desire? It will be closer to God. When you learn of Christ, there's something about him that's so loving, you just try to get right into him. Excuse this expression. I told my wife here not long ago. We're both getting old. And I said to her, do you love me like you used to? She said, certainly I do. And I said, you know, I love you so much till I would like to take you and pull you inside of me so we could just be one. Now, that multiply that by 100 million, and then you find out how the believer who falls in love with Christ wants to get into him, because it's a love. And here he's going to show us how that, through these promises, we might be partakers of Christ's divine nature. This mortal body, how that we can be partakers. Now, tabernacle is, of course, a place where we go to rest, now get freshness and so forth, like resting from sleep or so forth. Now, Hebrew 10 and a few verse, Paul brings it in. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, that's Christ, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. What is the tabernacle now? A body, God tabernacling in a body. God wants up high. When he come down on the mountain, even a bullock or a cow touch the mountain, he must be killed. God is holy. Now, holy God could not condone sin. Nothing could touch the mountain where God was. Then God was made flesh and dwelt among us in the form of Jesus Christ, his son, his creation. Then that son gave his life, and the blood cell of God was broken that the life might come out of the blood to us. Through that blood, we are cleansed. And now our blood, our life, which came by living through sexual desire, brought our life in the world. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us, changes our nature by sending upon us the Holy Spirit. Then we become into the divine nature of God. Then we become a dwelling place for God. Jesus said, at that day, you know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Amen? Know how that God is in his church. The church is now supposed to be taking the place of Christ, carrying on his ministry. So if we are not there, brothers, that means we really need to get praying. We need to begin to focus more on him. We begin to fast, pray, ask God, oh God, we're supposed to take your place. What has happened? Where are we? Where are this time more than ever? All right, as we see all this thing coming, is not the time to say, I'm in the message. This is the time for the message to be in you. All right? It's not time I'm Christ. This is the time for Christ to be in you. I'm a Christian. This is the time for Christ to be in you so you can really be that Christian. Amen? All right? Supposed to be taking the place of Christ, carrying on his ministry. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Yet ye shall see me, for I will be with you, even in you, amen, to the end of the world. See, there it is, carrying on his work. Amen? Amen? Now God, or the Bible said here that Stephen spoke of Solomon building a temple, and the Most High don't dwell in temples made with hands. For heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. And where is the place of my rest? But a body has that prepared for me. Amen? There you are. A body has that prepared me. God dwells in the statue of a man, reflecting himself in that being. Perfect worship. God in us, being his tabernacle. God manifesting. Oh, how we could stay on that till you would almost suffocate in here from heat. Notice that God has always, at all time, reflected himself in a man. Amen? And I can keep going on and on and on, but let me skip a little bit. And that's why, Brother Brown said, I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how we can become the dwelling place of the living God. Amen. That's the purpose of every single one of us. Coming to church, as I was saying last Sunday, we shouldn't be like Cain, trying to put nice flowers around an altar. By revelation, Abel, and by faith, Abel offered a sacrifice acceptable unto God. This is the time. This is the time more than ever for us to offer a sacrifice like Abel. The blood sacrifice. Ourself. This is the time more than ever for God to come and dwell in us. And that Brother Brown was saying here when he preached the statue of a perfect man. And that's why I'm here this morning, is to try to teach this little church and myself how that we can become the dwelling place of the living God. Alright? Now, the original faith, as I was saying, the original faith was delivered to the early saints, and they continued to keep it. Like when Peter, they contending and they kept that faith. Amen? But as a grain of wheat, it went to the ground and died through the dark ages. Because Jesus said, if the grain of wheat does not fall into the ground, it cannot come back, reproduce. So as a grain of wheat, that original seed that was given to the early saints, they continued to keep it. They went down to the dark ages. Amen? But in the last days, God promised a restoration. But in the last days, that began to come back again. Amen. All right? The last days, it was restored back by Malachi 4 at God's promise. And today, every bride member, not just the minister, not just the pastor, not just the evangelist or the missionary, every bride member, okay, true believer in the restored word of God, filled with the Holy Ghost, has a divine responsibility, a duty to give diligence to contend for the faith restored back by Malachi 4. Amen. Amen? Amen? All right, there's a quote here I'll skip. I'll read it next time. We must constantly check ourselves to make sure that we are in the faith and not just coming to church, paying tithes and putting beautiful flowers on the altar like Cain. Right? Like I said, we must be like Abel, because we have received a revelation from God and know that it will take the blood. Amen? Amen. So, today, like I said, I'm going to start a little bit. I know I have 6 or 7 more minutes.
We are going to start on faith. And I know that just the sort of faith, it will take us a little while to even touch the tip of the iceberg. Okay? We are going to start from faith. Like what Abraham said, when God said, let there be, God need to have faith in his word that when he say, let there be, it will be there. Amen?
Amen.
The walk with God starts with faith and is entirely based on faith. As you see, we read before, without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. All right? It's impossible to please him. Now, faith is a foundation of Christianity and individual Christian. Maybe next time, God willing, I'll try to see if I can get the statue of the perfect man that we can have here. All right? Now, faith is the foundation of Christianity and individual Christian. Brother Branch has still noticed, and I said in the statue of a perfect man, notice, you must be born again. And when you are born again, you can be born again without having faith. It's impossible. Amen? That's right. So you see, on my chart here, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of it all. For without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is and a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See? He must be. And when you are a skeptic of the Bible, when you are a skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. Amen? Now, let's do something I'm going to share with you. And please, no doctrine or belief or anything about it. Don't even quote me. I'm just sharing this with you. As I was studying yesterday, you know, my eyes fell on it because I know God acts in patterns. Even Brother Bram told us God does a lot in patterns throughout the Bible. So I was reading, as I was preparing my message, and I'm going to start with faith. I just noticed something that I want to share with you. Now, no tabernacle built around this. It's just something a brother is sharing with you all, okay? I realized that Brother Branham, all right, he was converted when he was 23, in the early 30s, right? Now, he was preaching from the time he was converted. He was preaching from the Baptist church and so forth. He was preaching. But the first message so far, that we have so far recorded, is faith is a substance. I said, wait a minute. He said many, many, many messages, nothing. But the first one we have on record to start everything, faith is a substance. And when he started such a perfect man, faith is a foundation. Now, he preached that message in Oakland, California on April 12, 1947, just a few days after his birthday. So I began to ask myself, is there some pattern here, design or whatever? So, you know, being curious, I begin to look a little bit deeper. And then I begin to say, wait a minute, from 1947 to 1965, what do I have? And then the next thing I notice, I begin to notice, wait a minute, the last message so far we have on record is communion. Is that right? December 12th. The first message we have on record is when? April 12th. So I say, wait a minute, 12 to 12, that gave me exact months. So I wrote it down. I said, no, I don't want to do a wrong counting here. I wrote down April 12th to May 12th, May 12th to June 12th, June 12th to July 12th. I said, I'm going to count. I don't trust my brain anymore. I want to make sure I'm counting right. All right? So as I count, I realize that from 1947 to 1965, December 12th, April 12th, it's a total of 18 years and 8 months. All right? So the total amount of recorded food that we have, like I said, I've never looked into this before, is 18 years and 18 months. I say, wait a minute, 18 sounds familiar. In a Jewish tradition, and you all remember Brother George spoke about here, 18 is high, is the number of life with a Jewish tradition. So if you see sometimes there was something here, say high and all that, that means life is 18. So that's why the Jewish, okay, the word life in Hebrew, the numerical was 18, the spiritual number for them in Judaism. And so many Jews, they give gifts in 18s, in multiple money. If they want to go money, you multiply 18, life, life, life. They want to get on a bus number 18. They want to do 18, 18, that's life. So, and then we know that 8 is associated with eternity, resurrection, regeneration, and the beginning of a new era. So when I read that, now if you read in Leviticus 23, 36, that's what it talks about 8th day, the holy convocation. So I'm like, wow, what is God really trying to show us? 18 years of food, 18 years and eight months exactly of store food. So anyway, that's just a little thing I'm sharing with you. Don't quote me. Don't say Brother Charles preaching. That's not anything. You know, many times God shows us things. He never wants us to build a tabernacle around it. Look, he took Paul, James, Peter, and he said, look, when they see that, the cloud begin to come and begin. You see, Peter, human being, get excited. Let's be two tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He says, shut up. What did he say? This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased to dwell, hear ye him. All right, I'm ending here. All right, so, but the problem we have today, because we have begin to be too many tabernacles around, think that God has showed Brother Abraham, those were to give us faith. He liked to tell Joshua, be courageous, be strong, you're in the right direction. This prophet was my anointed prophet. Everything I did in his life is God ordained. Keep moving. Keep moving. I'm the person. All right? All that, he's a gift. What Brother Brown came, he was a gift that I sent to you to bring you back. But I'm the giver. Look to me. All right, I'm ending here. I'm reading this quote. So I will end with this quote, and we'll pick it up next Sunday. All right? Brother Brown said, last Sunday I preached on the key, and the key is faith. The faith holds the key, and the key is the scripture. Christ is the door, see? So faith takes the little hinges of the scriptures and unlocks the glories and good of God out of his people. All right? See? So it's faith. Hold the key that unlocks Christ to the people, unlocks it, reveal it. So today, we are going to try to take that same key to unlock the way to become a virtuous Christian in the statue of God. That and be a living tabernacle for the living God to dwell in. Shalom. Let us pray. Amen. Dear precious Lord Jesus, Father, we thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Father, we have no other purpose on this life as Christian than to become a dwelling place where you come and dwell. And God, Father, all the things that we've talked about today, help us, Father, to pray. Fast. God, pray, seek your face. Oh God, help us, Lord. There's a big land of promise in front of us. But Father, sometimes it looks like we are afraid to take our promises. It's like we are afraid to take the land. And God, you build all that for us. Satan come to scare. Satan's a squatter. You never build that land for him. When you build everything, you come to the end, you create it as a son, daughter. That's for you. Multiply and be blessed. So, Father, today, I pray that you help us, every one of us, to take conscience. Help us to be courageous. Oh, God, help us to be bold, taking your word, knowing that the land belongs to us. The promises are ours. Give us courage. Give us faith. Give us renewed faith. Give us renewed interest in your word. Give us, Father, oh, God, the strength in your word. Oh, Father, to take our promises. We love you, Lord. Bless the oncoming service. Bless the minister. May everything be done to praise you, to worship you, to honor you, to give you all the glory, Lord. We love you. We commit all to your hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be dismissed.